This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD. Online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
That's right. Good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. I'm your moderator, Christine James, and I'm joined by reporter Charles Mathewson and Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tauchi here asking questions. This primary election race is for the 1st Plymouth District. Two Democrats, Stephen Michael Palmer and Art Deslogis, are both vying to be on the ballot for the general election this fall. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
The winner will face Republican incumbent Matt Muratori. Timing you all is Lenny Rowe. Good evening. And we're joined by media partner PAC TV. Thanks for being here. Larry Nelson is doing engineering, and that's the newest member of our news department over there, Jill Johnston, and who is a timer in training. Now, our format is simple. We've asked the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements ready, no longer than 2 minutes for an open and 1 minute close, please. And we have a round of questions from the reporters and a lightning round where answers are either yes or no or two sentences tops. Also, please try and keep your answers to around a minute. If you consistently go over, ramble, or start to repeat yourself, then you get the bell. And we told you a little bit earlier, if it's a minute, you'll know it's a minute. If it's a rebuttal and I say you've got 30 seconds, it's 30 seconds. Right there, green means go, yellow means you've got 10 seconds, and red means stop, you're done. I give you a 5-count grace period. If the red's up there, if you're still talking, you get the bell. If you're still talking, we cut the mic, just so we try to keep everybody to a really tight order when it comes to answering. We chose opening and closing order out of the official WATD stand-in newsroom koozie just moments ago. So we will begin with Art Deslogis for the opening statement, then go to Stephen Michael Palmer. That order will be reversed at the end. So let's begin now with the opening statement. Good evening, Art Deslogis.
Thank you to WATD, the panelists, and the listeners. I will begin with an introduction. I was raised in Saugus to a middle-class working family, my dad a factory worker, and my mom a high school secretary. I learned the value of hard work and the American dream from them. After graduating from Boston College, I served in the U.S. Peace Corps as a math teacher in Ghana, West Africa. Every day, I helped students overcome obstacles caused by poverty so they could focus on their studies. Upon my return to the U.S., I received an MBA and went on to a 30-year career as a corporate executive. I learned the importance of bringing diverse groups together, giving everyone an equal voice, and getting things done. After retiring from the business world, I returned to public service. Currently, I'm attending Tufts University as a graduate student in their public policy program. As part of that program, I work on legislative issues in the Massachusetts State House for Representative Tammy Gouveia. I am running because I believe our community deserves representation that will take on the issues of the day. Issues such as the threat when Holtec dumps 1 million gallons of radioactive water into Cape Cod Bay. I am a leader in the Save Our Bay Coalition, championing legislation to block this radioactive dumping. Issues such as a woman's right to choose, a right to privacy and to make decisions about her own body, and I will consistently vote to support these rights. Issues such as behavioral health and addiction issues. I know firsthand how these issues destroy the dreams of families. Issues such as gun control. I support a ban on assault weapons and limiting the carrying of weapons in public places. I look forward to discussing these issues with you and more here tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Art Deslogis and his opening comment. Now let's go to Stephen Michael Palmer. Your opening statement, please.
My name is Stephen Michael Palmer, official senior citizen now that I'm 66. I'm a chairman of the Plymouth Redevelopment Authority, elected by the people of Plymouth, and appointed trustee of the Plymouth Charitable Housing Trust as a vice chair. I'm a former town meeting member in the town of Plymouth. My two children attended Plymouth schools exclusively, both graduated, knowing plenty, they are doing well, I'm bragging, they're deserving, hardworking. I hope to be our next state representative representing the working class, men and women. I know a bit about this because I've worked 7 days a week for 25 years to pay my taxes in town. I love Plymouth, I hate taxes. They snowball even in July. State budget is $53 billion. That's right, $53 billion. They're spending it wisely. They are pursuing their own happiness. That's why they are always smiling. I like to wipe the grin right off their faces. No, I don't plan to be popular. I just plan to be on your side. Housing, a big problem. We don't make, if someone doesn't make over $100,000 a year, they can't buy a home. Houses do not have to cost that much. Then you can't afford. Oh, they can write it off on their taxes. That isn't the solution. Affordable upfront can be done. Being done, for example, $150,000 can buy you a prefab home, a nice house. Plymouth has to come up with the land. Pursuing happiness is not as good as catching it and living it. Hope you can help me. Hope you help the deserving. Your vote is a first good start.
Thank you. That was Stephen Michael Palmer with the opening statement. And now we're going to go to questions from our panelists. Let's begin with Kevin Tachi, the host of Monday Night Talk. Questions for the candidates.
Thank you, Christine. We'll start with you, Michael, and Mr. Stephen Michael Palmer. You've been a candidate previously for state races, state senate, state representative. What's different this time for you to be able to succeed and become a member of the state legislature? What do you feel is different in this particular run compared to past runs?
Well, the fact is it's a special interest group that I just can't vote for the person that is, you know, a puppet on a string for the special interest groups, as well as the, you know, the fact is that they take money from the party and, you know, they don't vote their conscience. They just vote the way they're told to vote. And, you know, I feel that me not taking money from the party and, you know, not taking money from special interest groups and not taking money from lobbyists, you know, I know what should be done in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I mean, the fact is that, you know, the State House was closed for 700 days. Is everybody happy with that? You know, $5.7 billion, you know, going to infrastructure, and they should have way more for the people.
Okay. Art, have you run for office previously, whether it's on a municipal level or on the state level?
No, sir, and I'm not a politician, and I'm running because I believe that Plymouth needs different representation that focuses more on the issues, as I said in my opening statement. When I look around, if you wish, I can continue. When I look around and I look around at what's happening with the whole tech dumping, I just say, you know, community groups need rights. Right, it's one thing for Holtec to say, you know, we have the right to do something, but the community also has a right to defend their environment, defend their health, and defend their commerce. I look at that and say it's not good enough. They need an advocate and they need a champion, and that's one of the reasons why I'm running.
So what makes you different from Stephen as far as, I mean, he's been successful in getting to get the party nod. How will you be able to beat Mr. Palmer?
30 seconds.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I am not really familiar with Mr. Palmer's record. I think it's admirable that he works for the stuff he is doing on the town. I also work on the sustainability. Was just appointed last night, one of the sustainability committees, advisory committees for the town. And I also work for the environment, the Sierra Club. I'm an executive committee member working on many, many advocacy matters when it comes to the environment.
Okay, thank you.
Any follow-up questions?
No, that's okay.
Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates?
Mr. Stephen Michael Palmer, since we last spoke, I'm a town meeting representative following in your footsteps, so to speak. It looks like the proponents of a racetrack in Plymouth are going to do an end run to town meeting in terms of, because they probably can't get a two-thirds vote for a zoning change. So they'll just say, well, the county is exempt as it remains county land. What would you do to try to influence the Gaming Commission as a state rep?
There's not going to be a Plymouth Churchill Downs? Is there going to be a Kentucky Derby in the town of Plymouth? Charlie, people don't want it.
It's clear from the vote that people don't want it. What would you do as a state rep after the proponents do an end run around town meeting.
I don't want it either, Charlie.
What would you do?
I'd do nothing. I would make sure that it doesn't go through, Charlie.
How?
Charlie, the people voted. What are you trying to make? What are you trying to reinvent the wheel here?
No, I want to know how as state
rep... The vote was counted. It's over, Charlie.
They signed the lease.
Put another hockey rink in.
What would you do, Mr. Delucius?
Yeah, thank you. It has been voted. Most community groups in Plymouth have said they don't want a racetrack there. My vision of Plymouth is one of it being America's hometown. It's one where tourists like to go. It should be the first stop after tourists get finished touring Boston. That vision of the harbor, of the Mayflower, and of the parks in Plymouth, I think that's the vision we need to preserve. I think you ask a very good question. Well, how can we stop the county if they decide to just bulldoze their way through and put something in? And I don't think I know the answer right here tonight on how to do that. It would have to be some kind of technical and legal barriers. And I'm happy to research that and get back to you on it, but I can't tell you.
Influence on the State Gaming Commission, they seem to hold the key at this point. So as a state rep, you would have some influence. How would you use that?
So, I mean, I would... First would be insisting that they have public hearings, right? That they have let the people and the community show up in a public forum and let them speak their piece and their voice. Then I would expect them to take that input and respond to it.
When you say them, you mean the gaming commission?
Yeah, the gaming commission, I'm sorry. Yeah, to take the public input and to respond to it formally and in writing, and then present it back to who said it. And then based on that, we'll take the next step.
Thank you.
Okay. What type of Democrat are you? How do you describe yourself? Progressive, liberal, conservative, far left? Let's start with you, Art.
Thank you. I'm a central Democrat, right? I fit in right with the Massachusetts legislature. I work in the office of Tammy Gouveia, who's running for lieutenant governor, and she has a pretty medium-type program, platform. I support the governor on many programs. I support him when he wants to extend the charitable deduction program. I think he's got a good job on COVID. On the other hand, I don't think he has been did a good job in the leadership of the environment. And I think the legislature helped by overriding him and overriding his veto, helped him correct his mistake. And we now have a very strong environmental program in Massachusetts.
Okay. Stephen Michael Palmer, how would you describe yourself? Are you a conservative Democrat, a liberal Democrat, progressive? How would you describe yourself?
You're missing one.
Tell me what it is.
It's a moderate.
Okay.
Working class American Irish Catholic Democrat over the West 4th Street Bridge, Gator Heaven Parish, Epping Third. Don't let the shirt and tie fool you. You know, we need a new Democrat Party, the party that will once and for all stand for the fine people of this Commonwealth. So help me God.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go back to Kevin Tachi. Questions for the candidates?
State continues to monitor the decommissioning of the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station. From the moving of the spent fuel to concrete storage casks to planning the disposal of some 1 million gallons of radioactive water. What role should the state representative take during this ongoing process, in your opinion? We'll start with Art.
Thank you, Kevin. First, I stand in solidarity with the Save Our Bay Coalition to stop the dumping of this radioactive water into our bay. It's a threat to our health, our environment, and our commerce. There are safer alternatives. It's only a matter of cost to Holtec. Some say they have the right to do this dump. I say the community also should have rights. I signed the pledge, the Save Our Bay pledge, so the community voices would be heard. I went and spoke out at town hall against this dumping. I walked the line on Coles Hill, saying this dumping must stop. And I will support a moratorium that's currently before the legislature to halt this dumping until it is adequately studied. Thank you.
Same question, Stephen.
You know, Mr. Tachi, the fact is that You know, I've been following this since I was a town meeting member. When I was first elected as a town meeting member, it took me an act of Congress to get in that plant, and I did tour it. And I've dated some women that have worked there for 30, 35 years. I work over at the Hilton at the Long Pond Road there on Fridays and Saturday nights, as well as the Pine Hills Merbeau Hotel. And I've met a lot of the executives and a lot of the workers that have, you know, have been familiar and have worked for the decommission of it. And the fact is that over the years, you know, you've got Teresa Murray and you got Vinny and, you know, now you got Matt. And, you know, it's a progressive, you know, thing here where, you know, is someone going to do something, you know, relevant to the dumping? I mean, Holtec, in my opinion, is, you know, untouchable. You know, I mean, we can demonstrate and we can concentrate, but that's not going to happen.
Remember, if during the forum, if you feel like you didn't get enough commentary into the answer that you're giving on your question, you can always use some of your time at the end when you do your closing statement. Okay. Any follow-ups with that, Kevin? Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates?
All right. Back to some issues that may be facing you as representative, would you support or not support bringing back happy hour in Massachusetts?
Thank you. Tourism is very, very important in Plymouth, but I think tourism can be done without happy hour. Happy hour has been documented and researched to be the tragedy of many, many families and many people. So I do not support bringing back happy hour.
Stephen, same question.
The fact is to dedicate the fact is that I'm in the hotel business. You know, I run 125 rooms at the Hilton and 50 rooms at Merbeau and the Pine Hills is the fact is that, you know, I'm the night auditor as well as the night manager. And the weddings can get out of control. The bar mitzvahs can get out of control. And I have to step in. And there's nothing worse than seeing someone drunk. And, you know, I got to take keys away from people. I've got to call the police. And the fact is happy hour, I don't see it being a good thing on the road. I think more bartenders should be shutting people off. You know, there's a time where they have to say, no more.
Thank you.
A dangerous bill pushed by Governor Baker over the time of his term that would reform police and the court's ability to detain suspects they deem threats. Judiciary Committee members on Friday polled to send it to a study, basically killing it. Do you support it or not support it? This is something that Governor Baker has been behind for many months and, in fact, had more people testifying today. Let's start with Stephen Michael Palmer.
Could you reiterate on that again? I didn't really catch the question.
They want to make it easier if they've got a dangerousness hearing, they want to make it easier to hold certain people under certain conditions. In other words, things in the past that they haven't been able to hold them for committing crimes, a lot of domestic violence crimes. Mm. They want to make it easier to hold somebody for a dangerousness hearing. The governor's been pushing it, and basically the legislature, the last committee that had it, is voting to send it to a study, which basically kills the bill. Do you support the governor in this, making it easier for prosecutors to use to put people in a dangerousness hearing or not?
How long were they going to keep them locked up for?
That's always a question because they come back and they hold them. In other words, they deny them bail and say they'll meet again, they're in court, they'll deny them bail and say they'll have a hearing to decide how long they're going to hold them for. But sometimes it's been tough. Prosecutors say sometimes it's been tough to get certain people held for certain things. In other words, there is an arrest, say, in a domestic violence case. Sometimes people have to be back in the home where the person they've accused of beating them or trying to kill them is not being held. So this is just trying to put it in the very simplest terms.
Okay. Fact is that, you know, when I'm running these hotels, and the fact is that we do have domestic violence, and usually they take one of those people away because of, you know, the OJ case that happened years ago. And the fact is that I think they have a right to take somebody. I think they have a right to, you know, realize that person is intoxicated, realize that the person might be all doped out, and the best place for them is a jail cell.
Okay. Same question, Art. Do you agree with that, with expanding that with the dangerousness hearings?
So I do not support the governor in this instance, all right? There are plenty of laws on the books, and DAs have, and so do county sheriffs and town sheriffs have plenty of authority to detain people if they've committed a crime or a suspect. What people found is that for some DAs were, in the view of many people, abusing these rights, and they tried to extend them. Just recently, and for example, the sheriff has detained people on immigration charges and contacted ICE to come and pick them up. That is not allowed in Massachusetts, and I do not agree with what the governor's position is.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go over to Kevin Tachi. Just a reminder to our listeners, you're listening to a political forum here on WATD. We're also here with PAC TV. The race is for the 1st Plymouth District. It's a primary election. The two candidates that are both Democrats, and they want to be on the ballot for the general election come November. Kevin Tachi.
The cost of living continues to increase, from a gallon of gas to weekly groceries. The state's economy has been steady, but some economists have warned that Massachusetts, along with the nation, could be heading for a recession. What measures do you think the state should take to prepare to head off such a financial downturn? Stephen.
Well, the fact is that Mr. Tachi is, you know, they have to realize that, you know, people are hurting out there. The average guy should be making, you know, $29 an hour. And the fact is, a lot of people aren't making that money, and things are going up. You know, a can of mayonnaise now is like $6, and you know. And the fact is that, you know, they had an opportunity. The politicians up at the State House had an opportunity to cut the gas tax, and they didn't, you know. And it just keeps going up. And the fact is that the budget keeps going up. It's $53 billion now. And the fact is that, you know, we get money from the federal government, 9.7 for infrastructure. And the fact is that none of the money comes to the towns. And the fact is that taxes keep going up. And, you know, something has to be done. But the politicians, they're not there with a pursuit of happiness, their own happiness.
Thank you. Same question, Art. What measures should the state take to head off a possible recession?
Yeah, thank you. First, I want to say that the transportation situation here in Massachusetts, and especially around Boston, is ranked as the worst in the U.S., right? Education needs to be more fully funded, especially early childhood education. That is what is in the latest budget. Right, and that is what the legislature wants to spend some of the $7 billion in the rainy day fund, plus the $9 to $10 billion that will be coming from the Fed over the next 5 years. These are investments in our future. They're investments in our children. They're investments in roads that get people to get people jobs, save energy, and and build commerce. So, in terms of staving off inflation, spending wisely is the state's best answer. And I believe that's what they're doing.
Okay. Any follow-up for that? Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates?
I watched the mental health system in this state and in Vermont crumble because, state hospitals were horrible at the time. But we haven't rebuilt it. Can you give me one thing that you would do as a state legislator to begin to rebuild the mental health system in the state? Mr. DeLogis?
Thank you.
What would you do to rebuild the mental health system?
Massachusetts right now is on the verge of reforming and transforming the whole way mental health and emotional health is treated in Massachusetts. Currently passed in both houses is addressing barriers to care bill. This bill would create a service where people facing emotional crisis in mental health can call a number and get immediate clinical advice. It will include mobile response units. It will include directions on where people can go if they need the crisis. In addition, it will include funding for training, and it will build out the whole infrastructure for community mental health crisis centers that people can go to with adequate beds, adequate staffing. This is a turn-of-the-corner type legislation. It's going to come live in January, and it will take many years to get right. And I'm going to be part of the group that gets it right. Thank you.
Mr. Palmer, name me one thing you would do to improve or rebuild the mental health system in the state.
You know, coming from South Boston myself and being a school teacher in the St. Augustine's and the Archdiocese of the City of Boston and having three decades and growing up in the city, I understand that, you know, mental health is a very sad state of affairs. We have, how many people have died in this year was, what, 100,000. And the fact is, you know, we have to build a bridge. You know, the fact is, it's politics up there, Charlie. They have the Speaker of the House from Quincy. And it's only $100 million to build that bridge. Yet we have billions and billions and billions of dollars. And the only social rehab is mash and cash. So, you know, it's a sad state of affairs when politics comes in and there's nothing getting done for the people and they're living in tents. I'd build a bridge. Simple as that.
You mean the bridge to Deer Island?
You got it, Charlie. Good thought.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, follow up on that?
No, do you?
No, I don't. I'm going to.
Okay.
But I'm going to. It's a good segue into my question. You both seem very passionate about this race. Was there a specific incident, event, or vote that got you motivated to run? Let's start with you, Art.
Thank you. Following up or continuing with the mental health crisis, I'm going to turn it to a specific part of that, which is the opioid crisis. A stunning 2,300 people in Massachusetts died last year. It's an epidemic and it's getting worse. It's personal to me. My son Tom, as a youth, struggled to find his meaning in life and suffered from substance abuse. Too often, much of society wrote him off, rejected him, and criminalized him. He wasn't a criminal. In my heart, I believe if he was accepted as someone who had a behavioral health problem, things would have turned out differently. He later overdosed on fentanyl. Our approach to these issues needs to change, and I have a plan. It includes the 24/7 access to clinical treatment, the assignment of someone who can help as a sponsor get through the right spots, and decriminalization.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry about your loss of your son. Stephen Michael Palmer, same question. Something passionate that got you motivated to run for this office?
Well, I can't vote for the other guy. The fact is that State House was closed for 700 days. Is there any common sense to that? Is there anyone here that realizes that, you know, the backroom deals were being done, okay? The bridge was not on the table. It wasn't addressed. The fact is $2.7 billion of everybody's infrastructure money goes out to people's paychecks. I mean, where's the common sense? I mean, didn't someone realize that $2.7 billion could have gone somewhere else except for people that didn't deserve the check to begin with? Oh, we're going to get the money back now. We're going to, maybe we'll talk to Mr. Walsh up there and we'll have a blanket, you know, approval and, you know, everybody will be fine. $2.7 billion. You did that in the corporate world, you'd be in jail.
Okay. Kevin Tachi, questions for the candidates?
A topic that is a favorite of not only mine, but Mr. Matheson, and that is water. Whether it's clean drinking water or clean water for recreation. I ask you, gentlemen, where does this rank for issues and concerns for Plymouth residents? And what action can be taken by the legislature when it comes to the safety of the community's water supply? Stephen?
Well, I'm an advocate of water. When I was a town meeting member, we had watersheds, and we approved money to make sure the lakes in the town of Plymouth were not going to get polluted with bacteria. And I feel that I accomplished things with John Mahoney when we started this program of the watersheds. And I feel like I accomplished something that. But, you know, I think people waste a lot of water, too. And I feel that, you know, you have to conserve it, and you have to appreciate it, because, you know, it's kind of like when I was running a hotel in Boston, I had a rock group come in from California, and it started to rain, and we were watering the grass, and they came down and said, shut that water off, shut that water off, save that water. You know, it always stuck in my mind that, you know, people maybe should flush their toilets a little less and, you know, not run the water when they're, you know, using their toothbrush or, you know, there's so many ways you can do it. And I'm a conservator at my house.
Thank you. Any concern in regards to Silver Lake and its current condition, Stephen?
30 seconds.
How many seconds?
30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Well, the fact is, Charlie, you know, the state has to come in. Board of Public Health has to, you know, monitor that more. And maybe they should dredge it. And, you know, it's been successful. I mean, they spent a lot of money dredging the harbor, Plymouth Harbor. And it can be done. You know, it just takes a little common sense and a little, you know, approval of the town meeting, et cetera. It can be saved.
Mr. Deslogis, same question in regards to drinking water, recreation water. Where does it rank among issues? Do you hear from residents who are concerned about the quality of their water?
So, yeah, yes, and thank you. So the League of Women Voters identified protecting the aquifer as their number one local community environmental issue. I support them. Their program is one of public education, getting the select board. They are involved already, getting more involved, but especially trying to get more state grants and get more state funding for what needs to be done to fix it. I also want to talk about the ocean. Right, which is equally as important. I support a Blue New Deal for Plymouth and the surrounding communities, similar to what Mayor Wu was doing in Boston. All right, this is going to be an economy-based program. It's just in the formulation stages of how do we harness the ocean, marine life, food in the ocean to build and drive our economy forward, which would be especially relevant in Plymouth. Thank you.
Yeah, 30-second follow-up with him like you had with Stephen.
Do you feel so? What's your thoughts on Silver Lake and its protection?
I know that the League of Women Voters wants to protect Silver Lake. Okay. I cannot tell you that I'm an expert on Silver Lake, and I'm happy to research it and post it on my website.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions?
I was going to ask about Kathy Lenatra after that, but I'll defer to you for the next question.
Thanks,
Charlie. Okay. Mr. Palmer, are you in favor of immigrants, recent immigrants, undocumented immigrants, getting driver's licenses?
No.
Why?
Because they don't deserve it.
Could you be more specific about...
I don't know, Charlie. I don't like to give things away. I like people to earn stuff, especially licenses.
What about the ability to work?
Ability to work?
Yeah.
Oh, I commend them to work. They should work. This is America. Why give stuff away, Charlie?
Do you drive to work?
Of course I do. I took my license. I took my test. I passed it.
If someone new to this country takes a test and passes it, should they be able to drive to work?
They should. They should be able to take the test, not just give them the license.
Well, no one gets a license for nothing.
I'm against it, Charlie.
What about you, Mr. Deslogis?
Thank you for that question. I was in the Massachusetts State House 3 years ago when a group of high school students went around advocating for the passage of that bill. It was on Valentine's Day, and they put a little heart in every legislator's desk. And they said, our friends are American citizens, but their parents are immigrants, and they're undocumented to drive. But our friends need to go to school. They need to go to the doctor. They need to show up at practice that we go to. The reason why I support this bill is because it is safer. People don't drive away from hit-and-run accidents, and that's why the police chiefs, mostly in Massachusetts, supported it. It provides for the children that these people were driving to get an education, to develop health care on their own, to become good citizens. So I am for it. It already passed, sir. So, I mean, I would have voted yes.
Now to rescind it.
Any other follow-up on
that? That's it.
Okay. Speaking of police, there was quite a movement in the past few years in this country, in the state, whether people thought they should defund the police. Some people thought they should be defending the police. What's your general thought on law enforcement? Do you think they should be defunded? Do you think they should be defended or just left alone? Mr. Dislogis.
Thank you, Christine. I do not believe in defunding the police. I think they need more money. I think they do a great job. Right. I do, though, as I said earlier, believe that mental health and emotional health services need to be built out. But they need to be built out at a level that does not include or that falls short of immediate harm. So we need another group of social workers and social services who can address those issues, including mobile response units. I think there needs to be a vision where police no longer are burdened with dealing with all of those issues for which they're not trained, and most of them say they don't even want to deal with. I think police need to be funded and trained to do the job that they're doing, and I think they do a great job doing it.
Okay. Same question, Stephen Michael Palmer. How do you feel about that? Defund the police, defend the police, leave them the way they are? Thoughts?
I don't believe in taking any money away from the police officers. I feel that they're the hottest job that any community can do. They're your best friend when you need them. I've had to call 911 many times myself in my businesses, and you know they've always been there. And to defund them would be chaos. It's kind of like when I talk to police officers that serve on my boards and charitable housing, et cetera, authority, they say that, you know, when the shit hits the fan, you better have backup, and you better have your back, you know, and if you defund them, they're not going to be enough to cover it, you know, and God bless the red, white, and blue, and the blue of the guys that are out there when we're sleeping, and when that call comes in, you better pray that they're coming to help you, because there is a crime happening, there is a domestic violence, there is a crash. That's their job, and to defund it would be chaos.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Tocci.
Yes. If you are elected, you're able to be successful the September 6th primary and elected in November, you're taking office in January, what would your top three priorities be? Art?
My top priority would be to stop Holtec from dumping.
Top three priorities.
The top three would be environment, protecting our environment from the threat of climate change. I support more offshore wind energy and would support that the way it is in the current bill before the legislature. I would support Plymouth develop an economy based on supporting the offshore wind industry, which is the infrastructure of research and education. I would support, in addition to that, transportation, especially transportation for our tourist-based industry here in Plymouth. Our Plymouth station should be a destination for every tourist in Boston, rather than being talking about it being closed. And I will advocate for that strongly.
Stephen, same question. Top three priorities if you are elected, taking office in January.
Housing would probably be my first one. I feel that, you know, the fact is that, you know, people need housing and we're not building them. You know, they had a project going on in Plymouth. I went to the planning board meeting, 178 new apartments for Pine Hills. Now, granted, it's land rape. Fact is that there's no affordable housing there. They don't donate any money to the Charitable Housing Trust in the town of Plymouth. They're their own identity. It's all for profit. And the fact is that who's gonna put your groceries on the shelf? Who's going to serve you coffee? Who's going to pump your gas? You know, sooner or later. You know, I was the only one to oppose this project. I couldn't believe it. Nobody else was there. But I tried to shut him down. But, you know, for profit, you know, Mr. Green and Mr. Judge, it's impossible. Health care would be one. Get the bridge done.
Thank you. Sorry. Any follow-up? Okay. What's up? Charles Mathewson.
Thank you. Ms. James. Okay, so you would both be first-term freshman legislators if you're successful. What would be your preferred committee assignments?
Who do you want to start with? Who do you want to start with?
Mr. Palmer.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, probably House Ways and Means. I think the fact is that it's overstocked with Democrats, and I could probably get something done over there, Charlie. I feel that maybe we can get some funding for this town of a land of opportunity, you know. And the fact is that we're just building for the rich. And the fact is that traffic is getting worse by the day, by the hour. You know, we keep building it and more cars. Kind of like I remember I was listening to the selectmen's meeting, and a woman stood up there about my age, and she says, you know, Plymouth, when my mother and father were growing up, had two traffic lights. Okay, so, you know, we've got to stop the building in Plymouth, and the fact is that, you know, we need money. We need things.
Back to committee assignments. This is not the first time I've asked you this question, as you know, and each time you've said Ways and Means, and each time I respond by saying it takes a few years to get on the Ways and Means Committee, don't you think?
Oh, if I'm up there, Charlie, I'll do some miracles for you. You just watch.
Okay, same question, Mr. Delosius.
Yeah, thank you. I would try to get on Julian Sears' committee for mental health and substance use. It's very, very personal to me. It's not my field, but I've lived through it with my family. I know what it is to tell doctors that your loved one is suffering from abuse, from opioid abuse. I know exactly the way it feels when you hear that loud knock on the door at 2 a.m. and your loved ones aren't home. I have the feeling of the community to give real input to this community, and that would be what I would do with my whole heart and passion. Thank you.
No other committee assignments?
Well, I certainly would want to be on the environmental committee. It is my field. I study it at Tufts University. I have a majors in it. I am also, as I told you, on the executive committee of the Sierra Club, and participated in many, many advocacy groups for many laws, and I know quite a bit about it as well.
Okay, thank you.
All legislators have been able to agree on and to put in a motion a suspension of the state gas tax. Your thoughts, do you support it or not? Art Deslogis.
So, with the gas tax, the legislature cannot be sure that the suspension is going to flow directly to the people who are paying the gas tax. That is why they instituted the $250 rebate that went to all residents within certain conditions making over $38,000, right? That just passed. Well, it hasn't passed yet, but it will pass, and eventually that's going to go out, right? I just want to add that I think that that rebate should have also gone to people less than $38,000, because they also pay for gas and they also have hardships. And I was on the Capitol steps last week with Tammy Gouveia, Donna DeZiglio, and other legislators saying that that bill ought to be amended to include people who make less than $38,000.
Okay. Same question, Stephen Michael Palmer. Do you wish they suspended the state gas tax or no?
Well, I'd like to reiterate on the fact is the $38,000, you know, they're on the bottom of the food chain, you know, and these people need help more than anyone. You know, myself, I probably make like $40,000 a year. So the fact is I was happy to, you know, see that check in the mail. But the fact is that you know, my kids have grown, and we have to consider the fact is that not everybody's making $100,000. Yeah, I've said this before, and that'll be the last time I say it today. But the fact is that we have to help the downtrodden. We have to help the people that are, again, you know, putting the groceries on the shelf, serving your coffee, and, you know, pumping your gas. It's just the fact is, the gas tax should be lowered. You know, the fact is that they're not going to do it because, you know, it's the lobbyists as well as the special interest groups that are being paid off.
Okay. Kevin Tonchi, question for the candidates.
I think we talked, tourism was brought up when we were talking happy hour. I just want to talk strictly about tourism, especially for your district, for the town of Plymouth. What do you feel needs to be done to help increase tourism? I know it's America's hometown, but what needs to be done to gain that additional foot traffic that's going to help local business? Stephen?
Well, the fact is, Charlotte, Mr. Tosi, is the fact is that, you know, the MBTA is a big part of this problem. You know, the MBTA has been closed for, you know, it's open now, but there should be more buses there, you know, and they should advertise it more. A lot of times it just stops in Kingston, and I feel that, you know, that would be a big part of it, to bring them in, you know, because I see tourists all the time. You know, I run two hotels, you know, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So the fact is, I hear from them what they want and what they need, you know. There's no taxis. I can't get a taxi in Plymouth. Well, it's 2 p.m. Oh, we don't have any taxis in Plymouth, you know. I mean, there's so many things that should be done, you know, and could be done, you know. Public transportation. Not that I want to see a bus like Broadway and City Point come down my street, but the fact is, but that would help tourists, you know. It would bring people where they want to go.
All right, same question.
Thank you.
Again, I have a vision that Plymouth, America's hometown, is the first tourist stop for every tourist that goes through Boston after they've done touring Boston. Not only should our train station be up and running, we should have express trains that come that make it easy for tourists in multi-languages and convenient, accessible transportation from the train station to downtown. This is what's going to bring in the customers and the tourisms and the business. And I support the town strategy of making Plymouth the destination stop to charge your new electric car by putting more charging stations in the Plymouth area. And there's new funding in the climate bill structures that. And I'm going to advocate to make sure that Plymouth gets its fair share of that money, so it becomes the charging stop of choice for people going to the Cape and staying in Plymouth. Thank you.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates?
Off the topic of state legislature, what's your opinion of the January 6th committee, Mr. Delosius?
I believe our democracy is at threat. I believe that committee is doing a very, very difficult job showing to the American people what's going on when people don't want to follow the law. And I think our nation needs to look at the facts and just say, how are we going to protect democracy for tomorrow? That's my vision.
Okay. Stephen Michael Palmer?
I was pretty appalled by it, to tell you the truth, Charlie. I watched it on TV. I read the New York Times every day and the New York Post. But the fact is that, you know, those Proud Boys pulled it off. You know, they went out and robbed banks. They went out and knocked over, they killed people. They knocked over Brinks trucks. All those people were planned for there, okay? It's kind of like the billionaires beat the millionaires when Trump ran for office. I voted for Hillary, who was obviously not a billionaire, but, you know, Trump bought himself off. You know, he bought that election, which is wonderful. I mean, this is America, greatest country in the world. But the fact is that, you know, that January 6th, that was wrong. But see how people can, you know, use the internet, social media, you know, money, murdering people to get what they want? Well, Well, at least it didn't escalate to anything else. I think all those people should be in jail. It's treason, you know? It's a sad thing. I mean, they did what they could.
Ask you a question. If you're elected to the district, plain and simple, how do you plan to bring home the bacon to your district? Stephen Michael Palmer.
Well, I would be a freshman, no question about that. Just the fact is, I'm really not a mover and a shaker, but the fact is that I'd have to, you know, make sure that money comes to Plymouth. There's plenty of money up there. There's some way to get it, and I'm going to figure out how to do it.
Did I skip you on the last question? I didn't think I did.
I don't think so, ma'am.
No, the January 6th. Okay. Sorry, no. Just wanted to make sure.
Yep.
Thank you. All right, now this question about bringing home the bacon. How would you do that for the district? Thank you.
In working at the State House, I've supported many grants and applications for grants in the various disciplines that people have submitted to the State House. I'm no stranger to doing that, and I know how it's done. I'm no stranger to how to get a grant in an earmark or a budget amendment, and I will put them through and work with the community. I will work with the select board, the community groups, and the committees in Plymouth on what their needs are, and I will support that.
Okay. Now we're going to go to our lightning round. This is, of course, my favorite part, because the answers have to be right to the point. They're either yes or no answers or one or two sentences tops. And the reporter will tell you what they want, whether they want a yes or no answer or one or two sentences. So let's begin now with Kevin Tonchi. Lightning round question for the candidates.
Elected official, past or present, that you look to as a role model. Art.
Barack Obama, because he had a grassroots campaign just like I do.
Same question, Stephen.
JFK, Democrat, not a liberal.
Okay. Charlie Mathewson, a question for the candidates.
What is your favorite place in the district?
That was my next question.
So I like the Billingham Sea because I love the kayaking. I also like walking the jetty.
Okay. Same question, Stephen Michael Palmer.
My favorite place is Plymouth. It's the baseball field I took over at 308 Lunds Way. Memory of my wife who passed away 12 years ago. The grass was this high, and I sickled it down, and I shoveled the infield foot by foot, and there's nothing like seeing a baseball against the blue sky and my son catching it in the outfield.
Okay. Lightning round question, Kevin.
Okay. Here's the parameters. It's a yes or no question. No rebuttal, no explanation, yes or no. Would you be in favor of a permanent meals tax free week for restaurants like we do for stores, box stores? Stephen, yes or no?
No.
Art?
Yes.
Charles?
I can't resist. Would you be in favor of expanding the meals tax in Plymouth? Art?
Is that yes or no?
Yes or no?
I got to pass. I, if you can give me a minute, I can...
Well, the meals tax currently just pays for town hall.
For example, expanding the meals tax to cover the Plymouth 400, I thought was a good idea that got defeated. All right?
Okay.
It was a minimal amount. But so in that sense, yes.
All right. Stephen?
No.
Okay. Plymouth County government, stay or go? This is a yes or no. Stephen Michael Palmer.
I'd like to see it stay.
Okay. Art Deslogis?
I again need to explain to the voters.
It's stay or go.
Then I'll pass.
Okay. All right. Lightning round question.
One word to describe your district. Stephen.
Art?
Oh, yeah, Art.
Start with Art.
Yep. One word.
Turning the corner and becoming itself.
Okay.
I don't know if that's one word. But
it's a long word. Stephen Michael Palmer, one word to describe your district.
Overgrown.
Okay. Charlie?
And my favorite, what is your favorite bad habit? It has to be a bad habit, it has to be yours, and it can't be I'm too sweet.
Okay, let's start with Art.
Yeah, sometimes I just do that.
Okay.
But I've been good today.
Favorite bad habit?
Eat too many hot dogs in the summer.
Okay, one more question. What did you hoard during the pandemic? Art.
Orange juice.
Okay. What did you hoard during the pandemic?
Nothing.
Okay, there we go. Let's go to our closing statements now. We're going to reverse the order. You've been listening to a candidates forum here tonight for the 1st Plymouth District Democrats primary election. And we've got Stephen Michael Palmer and Art Desloges. We are reversing the order that we started at the beginning. So closing statement, 1 minute, Stephen Michael Palmer.
2 years ago, 12,000 people agreed with me. 3,000 more and I'd be running for re-election. Decent, affordable housing is obtainable. What's my plan? We are spending money on infrastructure process and it affects people somewhat. $5.7 billion of our tax dollars and they are spending it on a pie in the sky, like a tunnel from North Station to South Station. A no-brainer, says Michael Dukakis, labeled Taxachusetts. He got that right. Billions wasted on a connection hardly anyone will use. A better idea, more housing. The GI Bill transformed America. We need a new GI Bill that's aimed for the needy of working class people. We need it before, we need it now, we need it again. It's a no-brainer. Let's put our heads together. Please help me help you. The voters are coming right up September the 6th.
Thank you. That's Stephen Michael Palmer. Closing statement. Closing statement, Art Desloges.
Thank you to WATD for hosting. My message is to the voters. In my work at the State House, I've helped communities obtain grants and other funding. I know how to ensure Plymouth gets its fair share. But I must believe that the days are fading away when the only role of a state representative is to bring home funding for the community. I believe that your state rep must represent your values, your vision, and your aspirations. I will be a leader in defending the environment, stopping Holtec, defending a woman's right to choose, and common sense gun control. My dad was a World War II Navy vet, and he served on the Liberty ship, the USS Joshua. He always told me, democracy is not a gift. We must defend it every day. And that's why I'm running. And I ask for your vote on September 6th.
Thank you very much. That was our disclosures. You've been listening to a WATD political forum, the race for the 1st Plymouth District. You just heard both candidates, Art Desloges and Stephen Michael Palmer. The date of the primary election is September 6th, and you can hear complete results here on WATD. We'll be doing our live show. Kevin Tachi joined me tonight. Charles Mathewson asking questions. Our good friends with PAC TV, Larry Nelson, our engineer, and of course our timing people, Lenny Rowe and Jillian Johnston. Remember, get out and vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James. Thank you for listening.